Good morning. My name is Ben Kendrew. I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. I'd like to welcome family and friends here for baptism. Today's baptism Sunday, and we're excited for that. Yeah, I hope you're excited. Baptism is that sacrament that marks us. It's an outward expression of our inward faith, and we publicly declare it before family, friends, church family, but all most importantly, before Almighty God. And so we're excited to have two people today declare and be baptized. So before I begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, that you are the God of miracles. We expect you to move, Lord. We know you will. And Father, I just pray that whatever we came in here with this morning, busyness, hecticness, just in a bad mood, whatever that is, just for the next few moments, would you be with us? As your Holy Spirit is already here, would you fall fresh upon us, open our hearts and minds to receive your word? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, I was at my church camp. I have a church camp where I grew up, where I met Jesus, where I received my calling. My family has been going there since 1941, so I have a great heritage of faith that comes from there. I was lucky enough to get a cabin from my mom. My mom received a cabin, and she was like, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to go. Would you like it for your family?" I said, "Heck yeah, that sounds amazing, right?" And so I had this cabin, and when I say cabin, it's not glamping. It's not this like fancy stuff. It looks like Tim Burton or Dr. Seuss built this thing. It's real slanted. It's not, you know, you get it. So, but as I was decorating and getting the cabin ready for my family, I put the family picture on the wall, and as I was decorating and getting other things put together for the cabin, I walked away, walked back in, and the picture was on the floor, and I was like, what's going on here? And then I did some other things. I hung it back up, and I did some other things, moved some boxes in, and the picture was on the floor again. I'm like, what is going on? I know how to use a hammer. I feel like I'm an educated man, and hammer and nail. But sure enough, what happened was is that I did it about four or five times, and it kept falling on the ground. And so what I realized, the problem wasn't the frame. It wasn't how I was hammering. My back was good at the time. It was the wall, right? It was the wall. It was the foundation behind the cracked wall. It was the foundation that, like, the cabin itself was slanted like that, and it still is. Again, Tim Burton, Dr. Seuss, that's what it looks like. But that's how a lot of people feel about the church. We think about the foundations, and we look at the church, and we begin to hang our faith and our hopes and our ideals, and we hope that we're going to experience. But ultimately what happens, sometimes we're let down. We're let down. We're shaken by disappointment. Maybe you're here this morning that maybe, like, you've hung so much hope and things on your faith on the church, and sometimes it's let you down. Have you ever had that in your life? And so we're in a sermon series, if you haven't been here. It's called What's the Point? What's the point of, you know, we're talking about the church today. What's the point? What's the church all about? Why even bother, right? Why go to the church? But sometimes, like, I know I've done this. I should speak first. But, like, I've hung my faith on the church. I've been shaken by disappointment. I've been disappointed by other leaders. I've been disappointed by God's people sometime. Some hurtful things have happened. I'm not saying it hasn't happened to you, but I'm just worn out sometimes, and I'm looking at the church, and sometimes it keeps falling down. Maybe that's you. You've experienced that too. Maybe you said before, you know, I love God, but I'm done with the church. You ever heard people say that? I've heard people say, I love Jesus, but I don't like the church. You've heard people say that. That's been a whole movement recently. And so here's the thing, that I believe in the church so much that I've given my life to serving Jesus' church. I've been a pastor for 30 years, but what I've experienced is that there's been a lot of people that have come and gone, where they've come to the church and they've been disappointed, where they keep hanging and have these hopes because of maybe the foundation is not literally of the building, but maybe like a structurally of the church has let them down, right? And so my hope is this, is that when you come into the church, that your expectations is that you're looking to Jesus first, that you look at Jesus first, and then you look at the bride of Christ, his church, and you realize you're not alone, that the church is this hospital for sick people, hurt people, and I'm one of them. And I want to tell people about Jesus. And so our hope and prayer this morning, as you experience and you sit in this worship experience, that you see that this is a building that is made up of broken people, the people that don't have it all together. I certainly don't have it all together. I'm going to let you down. I've let some of you down already. You're going to let one another down. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't. Jesus will never let us down. And so we're thankful. That's why we keep showing up. That's why we keep coming back. People get offended at God, and they get offended at pastors, and they get offended in the church, and those things happen. But here's the thing. Jesus himself says this in Scripture. He says, in this life you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so that's why we go through these troubles. We go through these circumstances within the church that we realize we need to rely upon God and seek Jesus first. And that's what I love about the church, is that it's for the people that are hurting and broken. And you don't have to have it all together. Thank God for that. Right? And God decided to use someone that was broken and had a past and had some issues, and he decided to use me. And so I'm thankful for that. But Jesus also says this truth in his scripture in Matthew 11, 6. He says this, blessed is the one who is not offended because of me. And so, maybe in your faith journey where you've accepted Jesus and you've walked with Jesus, maybe along the way your faith has offended people. Like maybe relationships or friendships have gone away because you decided to follow Jesus. I've had family members that have kind of like cast me aside because I've decided to become a pastor. And so here's the thing. The church is that place for us to go to. It's the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. There's these different portraits or these images within Scripture that we're going to look at today. But here's the thing. It's God's plan A. It's God's outpost of heaven, that he sees broken people, that he wants to use us to tell of the good news and the hope and the relationship that's found in Jesus. It's the place where we can come and have baptism to declare the hope and the glory that we have in a relationship with Jesus. And there's new life in that. And so our hope and my hope and prayer this morning is that if you've been hurt by the church, I'm sorry. If you've been hurt by the church, I'm sorry that's happened to you. I'm sorry. I know it's tough. That's one of the tough things that we experience as Christians. I had conversations with students as a youth pastor where they may have sagged their jeans a little bit. Remember sagging? Remember that fashion trend? And they've been rejected by the church. Or there was tattoos on their body. They've been rejected by the church. Like, come on now. We're all creating the image of God, right? We're all broken. And so what I want to say is this, is that as we think about the church, what's the point of the church? Why bother? You know, what's the point of this? And our hope is that we will see that the point of the church is that it points us to God, and it points us to live amongst other people in brokenness, that we are redeemed, and that there's hope and relationship in Jesus. Amen? And so that's what we're doing. What's the point of the church? Why do we gather each week? Why do we continue to do this? Why not just sleep in on a Sunday, right? It'd be easier, right? Just stay in your sweatpants, whatever you wear. You know, but God's word is clear on his description of what the church is and what the church is like. And here's what he says is that as we are, the people will be offended because of our faith, and even in society today, I would argue that the church, public relations wise, PR wise, doesn't have a good image in the world. It's let some people down. It keeps falling off for people, and people are looking at the church for hope and seeing how they live their lives. Are they like Jesus? And we continue to disappoint people. But here's the thing. We're called to continue to move forward and empowered by the Holy Spirit, right, to point people, to tell people, to pray with people, to do life with people, which means, as a churchy word to say nowadays, is to live life amongst each other. To laugh, to cry, to celebrate baptisms, to celebrate the birth of a baby, right? To cry when one of our loved ones passes away. That's what the church does. We come alongside of one another to help one another and point people to Jesus and to remind them we're not alone. Being called up. I think that's one of the points of the church, is that we're being called up to the potential of not where we were, but where we should be and what we're called to be in Christ. That there's all this potential that Christ sees us and gifts and abilities that he's given each one of us, that sometimes we just let sit back. And God's saying, I want you to use them for my glory, for others, to help other people. Like, what about our worship team this morning? It was amazing, right? We have an amazing worship team. Could you imagine if the worship team didn't use their gifts and abilities and voices and musical abilities, and they just sat on it? It'd be kind of quiet. You don't want me to get up here and do that. That'd be bad, right? So we're thankful that the church is made up of so many different gifts, and we're being called up into our fullest potential, right? And to become more like Jesus and less like ourselves. That's what the church does. And so in Matthew 16, 18, here's Jesus talking to the disciples, and he's trying to express to them and saying, this is what the church is like, and this is what your potential is that I see in you. And he says this, and I tell you, Peter, you are this rock. And Peter was one of Jesus's disciples or followers or students, and he saw in Peter his potential. Peter could have been from Western Pennsylvania. He could have been from Pittsburgh, right? Blue collar at heart. But he said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Verse 19, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so Jesus saw in this fisherman that would later on go and deny him and do some other things. He saw that he's going to build the church on this broken man, and that he continues to build his church on broken people like you and I. And I'm so thankful you're here. I'm so thankful that this is who the church is. And so often we get discouraged by what the church is, and often we think this is what the church could be, and that's what God sees in us, the potential of what we could be. We just have to show up. We have to be available. We have to be willing to step out, even when it's uncomfortable sometimes. Just showing up on a Sunday morning is a beautiful thing, and I'm so glad you're here this morning. The word church, the Bible word is ecclesia, means to be called out or called to God himself, called out of the world and called to God himself. And so as the church, we're called away from out of the world. We're not called to live in isolation, but we're called to come to the church, called to live with God's people, but then to go back into the world and share the gospel. That's what we're called to do as the church. There are three different applications, if you will, of what the church looks like and where the church is supposed to go, and like the directive. As we realize our potential and we take the keys that God's given us, we're called to go and preach the gospel universally across the world to Liberia. Think of Pastor Gary Paladin, who's our missionary and the pastor that's been here before me. But he's gone on mission trips. How many of you have been on a mission trip, a foreign mission trip? Look at that. That's amazing. You've taken the gospel forward. Then we have our region within our, think of like a dartboard with succincting circles in it. The outer one is the world, the region, the southwestern PA, Pittsburgh, maybe this side of the United States. We have an opportunity and an obligation to go and share and make the most impact as we can. And then locally, here in Brighton Heights or on the north side of Pittsburgh, we have an opportunity to share the gospel. This coming Friday, if some of you don't come here a lot, on Friday, on Trick or Treat, over 1,000 people will walk up and down this street. And we light up the front of the church, we put the lights on, we pass out candy, we're wearing Bridge City Church shirts, and we're handing out invites to invite them in. We're also handing out candy. But the idea is we're the church. We're here on the corner. We want people to know we're here. We want the people to know that there's a light in the darkness. There's hope for the hopeless, and that's what we come to do. Ephesians 2:19 through, we're going to spend some time here in Ephesians as well, but it says this, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. And that concept right there is the thing that turned me, that growing up in a broken family of divorce and alcoholism, abuse, all kinds of other stuff, ugly things, I saw that my family wasn't acting the way it was, and I saw in the church and through Christ that I could be part of God's family, this beautiful theological term, but this life application of adoption, that we get to be part of God's family. Isn't that something? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that worth telling people about? If you're a child of God this morning, that should excite you. And so you are members of God's family. Together we are his house. Think about that. We've sung about that this morning. We're his house, built on the foundation of the apostles, right, and the prophets, and the cornerstone. Where you build that cornerstone, if you build a building, that cornerstone is the most important one, is built on Christ and what he did on the cross. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And what a beautiful imagery that we don't have this old temple anymore, but we have the kingdom of God is inside us, and that cornerstone is Christ Jesus. that he wants that relationship with you. How about this? Paul says this, again, thinking about concept of the church, but it is this way. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Think of Mr. Potato Head. Did you have a Mr. Potato Head toy growing up? You're a grandkid. Think of the one body with all the many parts. You know, maybe you put the eyes on where the ear was. Like, you know, but there's proper ideas and places for each of those parts. And that's where Paul kind of wants the people to see the church like that. It's one body with many different parts and functions. Each one of us make up the body of Christ with different functions and abilities and skill sets. And it's a beautiful image to think about, that it's a redeemed body. It's a redeemed body of the broken. You know, I just had back surgery, for those of you who didn't know, and I'm still healing, but God is still making my body function properly, and as long as I'm doing the right things, and I'm trying my best, guys. But here's the thing. He wants us to function as one body together, but we're choosing to do that. We're choosing to be part of that. 1 Corinthians 14 says this, but if all of you are prophesying and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. As they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed and their life fall to their knees and worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. And so as we at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights, and all of our other campuses, when people come into this building, we don't want them experiencing like weird things, but we want them to experience Christ. We want them to experience worship and feel the Holy Spirit within us. And so when we come into this assembly or this church, into this house, and they rub up against you, we want them to experience Jesus. Is your life demonstrating that today? Are you demonstrating and living out to what God has called us? Are you being the church? Because the world today needs the church to be the church, according to what Scripture says, and he's called us to do it. And so we have these four truths about the body of Christ or Jesus' church. God is committed to building his church. He's committed to building his church. Did you hear that? That we look at the world and we look at the way it functions. Sometimes we think, man, the devil's way ahead in the scoreboard, right? The church has really dropped the ball. I feel that way sometimes. But here's the truth. We look to Scripture, not how we feel, but God is committed to building his church. We can rest on that. The devil hates the church. When I say the church, I don't mean just this building. I'm talking about Big C Church, the church around the world, right? The devil sees the church as his enemy, and he's going to do everything he can to make the church look bad and discourage and cause disunity among his people and his family members. Have you ever had a Thanksgiving where it was just awkward? Someone brought up politics. It's just like, oh, why'd you do that? You know, that's what Satan does, right? He tries to do that. He tries to discourage the church. Christians need the church. Do you hear that? Christians need the church. You're like, I don't know. I'm going to challenge you on that. You do need the church. We're called not to live in isolation, but in relationship with one another. We're called to live in community. So many people fall away from the church because when they fall away from the church, one of the first things that goes is community with God's people. They start and they go in isolation. They start blaming other things. I need this, I need that. And they begin to isolate themselves. As the church, as God's people, we need one another. We need one another to laugh with, to cry with, to celebrate, to worship. We're going to worship this Thursday night. We invite you out. But we need each other to do life and to help one another. The Bible says in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so we as the church need each other to sharpen each other. The world is waiting for the church. The world is waiting for the church. The world is waiting for the church to stand up and be the church and not be cowards or just sit back and be consumer Christians, but actually to step up and speak up, not to be winsome, not to be rude, but to live out and demonstrate Christ to a world that desperately needs it. The world is waiting on us. And so here's the great thing. Here's the great thing. If you've got breath in your lungs right now, God's calling you. God's calling you to step up as the church. That's exciting. What's the point of the church? Ephesians chapter 4. Again, Paul speaking to a group of believers at a church called Ephesus. He says this in verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build the church, the body of Christ. And so the role of the church in some of those different things, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers and pastors, but we're called to equip one another. That's why we have things like connection groups. That's why we have worship teams. That's why we have the opportunity to go on mission trip. We're trying to equip one another to do all that Christ has done. We have a prayer team that meets on Sundays and mornings. Like they pray and they bathe this whole time together in prayer. So we're the whole purpose of the church is to equip one another to go out and do the stuff that Jesus did. I don't just want to sit back and just watch people do stuff. I want to get out and do the things. I went to a high school football game for a family member this past Friday, and I remember just seeing some of these kids off to the side and just look. They were just kicking dirt, and they were losing badly. But they like to me it's like I would not want to be that. I want to be in the game. I don't want to just sit on the sidelines. I want to be in the game. As the church, we're called to be in the game. We're not called to just sit there. But we're called to participate in what God has called us to do the work. This thing he's called us to do. The work is to make disciples, to tell people of the good news, to share your testimony, right? We're going to have little ones that are going to be joining us here in a little bit. You know, one of the work that we have is to demonstrate and teach our little ones about who Jesus is and what it means to follow Jesus and to be the church in the right ways, right? And that's what we're called to do as the church. How about this? Ephesians 4:13 through 14 says this. This will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And so one of the marks of the church, one of the things that we're called to today in is if we're called to maturity. We're not called to, think of it like, if I were just to say as like an 8-year-old boy, right, and I never matured, that would be weird, right? I would not have a beard. But like over time, you mature. You should do the same in your faith. The church should do the same thing as well. We should be maturing in our faith. Ephesians 4, are you maturing today? Are you just kind of stagnant? I want to encourage you, if you're not growing, there's some changes that need to be made. Mature, grow in your faith. Talk to somebody, talk to me, talk to Elder Doug, talk to whomever. We want to your connection group leaders, we want to help you mature. How about this? Ephesians 4, 15 through 16 says this. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. And he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each does its own special work, he helps it others to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so he fits us together. He fits us together, joining a group of people together. He fits us together and healthy. We're called to be healthy. We should be growing healthy and having healthy relationships, communicating with each other, not picking up offenses. If we hear of disunity, we're stopping that. And so we're called to be a healthy body. And if our body isn't healthy, it's what? It's sick. And so God is calling us as the church. He's calling you to be healthy in your relationship with him. More importantly, he's calling the church to be the church that's healthy and growing, increasing in expansion, right? This isn't just for numbers' sake. I know a lot of people will start, you know, they'll lean up against the wall like, oh, the church is just about numbers. Well, numbers are souls, and souls matter to God, and numbers, people matter to Jesus, and they matter to us. Now, I get when you get caught up on all that stuff and that becomes the thing, but that's not what we're about here. That's not what we're about growing in our relationship with God. We're becoming, we want to be aligned with what the Holy Spirit has for our lives. That's what we're called to do. And so Jesus said that he was going to build his church on the rock. So he wants a church that is healthy, growing, and full of love. The church is the body of Christ. Again, these different images and portraits, we just went over this in my connection group this past week, but when we think of the body of Christ, that's one image that the Bible shows us, and we think of that. What place in the body do you fit? Where's your role in the body of Christ? And so, in other words, God sees you as valuable. God sees you as having dignity, and you're created in his image. And so within his body, you have a place. You have a place here at Bridge City Church, right? Your voices, your prayers, the way you serve and give of yourself, that matters to God and it matters to the body of Christ. I thank God for Aaron Dovey and the amount of time that man gives to this church. You guys don't see, and he doesn't want me saying this right now, I know it. But he gives a lot of his time. What I love about Aaron is that he's part of the body. He doesn't want us to know that stuff, but he is. He's given of himself. He's given to the body of Christ. And I'm just calling you to step up as well, to do that as well. He does it not for me, he doesn't do it for you, but kind of does. But most importantly, he does it for God. He does it to honor God with all that he does. And then again, I said that the church is a family, Ephesians 2, that part of God's family, that beautiful image of family. You know, I grew up in a kind of a broken family. Maybe some of you grew up in a family that was good and healthy. Like, that's the way the church should be. That's my hope and prayer for my kids. But I want them also to experience a church family that's healthy and growing, right? And it's not kind of crazy and doing weird stuff, but it's growing together. So family, what are some characteristics of a healthy family? Well, families love, families forgive, they support one another. They're there for those in times of need. That's what a family does, and the body of Christ should do that, right? And not holding offenses or holding grudges or whatever it is, but they're being there, and we should see each other as adopted sons and daughters of the Most High. And that to me is everything. That to me is everything. That's the hope that I see because of what Christ did on the cross. I am part of God's family. Because of Christ, you are part of God's family. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're like, I don't know what that's like. I'm going to give you an opportunity to say a prayer at the end. How about this one? We see the church has this practice of baptism. You see the tank up here. It's not normally up here. But it's this sacrament that we have. And here's what Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says. This is also known as the Great Commission, a directive that Jesus says. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And so Jesus gives us this great commission to his church, and he says, these are the things I want you to do. I want you to go and baptize people, them, teaching them what baptism is. Baptism is that outward declaration of that inward faith, and we're called to do that. Just as we take communion together, we're called to be baptized. Now, baptism is a mark on your Christian journey that says, I am sealed, I surrender my life to Jesus. I'm no longer mine, but I'm surrendered to him. And so we have two people doing that today. And so baptism is one of those beautiful symbols that Jesus gives the church. That our old self goes down under the water, like at the grave, and then we come up in new life in him. And so what a beautiful image, this command he gives us, this outward expression that we're doing. And so when we're baptizing, we're identifying with Jesus' death and his resurrection. We leave behind that old life of sin, and we publicly join God's family. And so that's what we're called to do as the church. These things, not just at baptism, but we continually do that weekly and daily as a church. Amen. Baptism isn't about perfection, and the church isn't about perfect people, but it's identifying and saying, I belong to Jesus, and I belong to Jesus's church. That's what we're called. And so the church has a mission from Matthew 28 that we're all called to participate in. And in Acts 1, 8, it says, but you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Say everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so one of the gifts that God has given the church is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that gift that he gives us to do the things that sometimes we don't feel like we have the power to do. And so the Holy Spirit is that counselor that tells us to keep going, keep moving forward. I'm with you. It gives us the words to say even when we don't know what to say. And so we're called to be on mission. There's people with your own family that don't know Jesus. There's coworkers, there's classmates that don't know Jesus. That's your mission field. Your mission field is all around you. And so I pray this morning as the church that God will give you the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and a softened heart to break for what breaks Jesus' heart. That's the mission you're called to. You are the church. You're called to go everywhere. You're called to preach. You're called to go to your homes and to wherever it is, but you're to demonstrate the love of Christ. That's what the church does. Not to judge, not to condemn, not to look down upon, not to spout all kinds of other stuff and be weird, but we're called to be signposts pointing to Jesus. Ultimately, that are reflecting God's glory. In Ephesians 3:21, it says, glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so that's what we're called to do is reflect the glory. Reflect the glory back to God, like mirrors or whatever it is that works for you. We're called to reflect that glory back to him. When the church becomes insulated and inward, it's not reflecting glory. It becomes about our agendas. It becomes about our stuff. It doesn't become about Jesus' church, about God's mission, and about being moved with the Holy Spirit. It's called to, we're called to do that. And so what is the point of the church? And I love these verbs that we have. The point of the church is this, is to be built by Christ. It's built by Christ. It's filled with his Holy Spirit. Look at the verbs in there. It's built by Christ, filled with his Spirit, joined through baptism, driven by his mission. What drives you? What drives you in your faith? Is it just going through the motions, or are you driven on mission? Are you on point? Are you focused on the mission that God has given you? Are you united? Are you united by his family right now? Are you united in that? Are you existing for his glory? And my hope and prayer is that as you go through your faith and you leave here, you kind of rethink about what it means. What's the point of the church? Well, these are the points. These are some things that you can actually practically do and shift your perspective on what it means to be the church. That God wants you to be his representatives, ambassadors, man or woman in the world, wherever you are. He wants you to do that, being built and filled and joined and driven and united and existing for his glory, amen? That's what he's calling us to do. So we're called to just grow and be the believers that he's called us to be, this community of people that have been hurt and disappointed, but we continue to move forward as we're supposed to be in the world. The world is waiting for this light. The world is waiting for his love to be demonstrated. The world is waiting for this redemption to happen, this hope to be demonstrated in God's people. And so he's calling us today to be the church, to stand up, live for him and to honor him. There's a story of a lighthouse. There's a lighthouse off the coast of England, and in that it's been standing there for over 200 years or so, and it's been hit by countless storms, wind and waves and lightning and all kinds of stuff, hail, but it never fell. It never fell. It stood against all the storms. And when they asked the engineer, they said, "Why did it stand? Why hasn't it fallen in all the storms that came against it?" And the engineer says, because it was built on a good, solid rock foundation. It was built on the solid rock foundation. The waves hit it, but the rock holds. When the waves and the storms of your life hit, and you begin to doubt and have fears, that's going to happen. We can rest assured when we have our faith on the rock who is Jesus. We can build our lives on him and rest assured that the church will rise and stand and be the church because of what he did on the cross. So listen, I just wanted to say this. If you've been hurt by the church, forgive and rebuild. If you've been hurt by the church, just forgive and rebuild. I know that's easier said than done, and it's not a flippant comment. I'm speaking to myself when I say that. 30 years in the church, you can imagine what I've experienced. Maybe you can. But I'm asking you, if you've experienced church hurt, is to forgive and rebuild and move forward in your faith. Amen? Can you do that? If you've been passive and just kind of been sitting into the stands of your life and you've just watched everyone else lead and do the Christian faith, I'm going to challenge you today and say, step up, step in, and serve. Step up, step in, and serve. Find a way to serve Jesus' church. Not for me, not for Doug, not for Aaron, but for the King who loves you. And if you've been distant, if you've been distant in who you think you are, and maybe like you're distant in your faith, I just invite you to come home. Come home into a relationship with Jesus. If you don't know him and you're saying, "I haven't had a relationship with Jesus in a long time," I'm inviting you to this morning to come home to him. That he's that rock that you can build your life on. He's that firm foundation that will never let you down. And so I want to invite you to stand right now, right where you are. That I understand this. Listen, when I talk about church hurt, maybe the church has let you down, that I want to ask you this morning, maybe this is the time for you to move forward in your faith. Say, "I'm not going to let this just define me and hold me back for being all that I can be and all the potential I can be in my relationship with Jesus." Today, I want to ask you to let that go, to move forward. And if that's you, just raise your hand real high. You're declaring before God, just like those that are going to be baptized, "I'm moving forward in my faith. Church hurt will no longer define me or my relationship." Raise it real high. Let me see it. Do it for God. I'm not going to let church hurt define me. that I'm going to be defined as part of God's family, His child. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray for each of those hands that are raised this morning, that if maybe they've been hurt by a church or a pastor or someone, they felt guilt or whatever that is, Lord, will you help restore them, that there would no longer be a stumbling block in their path, but Lord Jesus, you would bring them healing and wholeness to move forward in their faith, that you would help them be full of love and growing and healthy, Lord, that would no longer define them. Lord, that mark hurt, that thing hurt, that relationship that ended hurt, but Lord, that doesn't end the relationship with you. So I thank you for what you did on the cross and how you call us to move forward in you. And so, Father, I pray for those right now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, forgiver of your past, and He wants to be the leader into your future. If you'd like to know Jesus, on front of your chair, there's a tap card. You can hit the tap card with your phone and click on that and say, I want to know Jesus. But I'm going to pray for you. Just if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, raise your hand real high. I want to pray for you. First time. First-timers that want to know Jesus. I see those hands right here. So Heavenly Father, I pray for my brother and sister right now. Lord, that they come home to you. Lord, that they will no longer live for themselves, but Lord, they would have a relationship with you. Lord, that they realize that they're broken and need you. Lord, but I pray that they realize that life is worth living with a relationship with you, Lord. That they would commit their days to you as long as they live. So Father, I pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.